Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. There's so much and so many things that you could be doing on Thursday evenings, but you have chose to join me tonight in the studio, and for that, I want to say thank you. I want you to know that it's not by accident that each and every one of you who are listening in on tonight, I believe it's because it's been predestined and preordained from the foundation of the earth that you will be listening into this show on tonight. And I'm excited about the show. I hope I could get through the show. I'm emotional about the show. As I began to study tonight for the show, this show came from a place of brokenness for me. It came from a place of brokenness because I have been having a heavy spirit most of the day, and probably for some time. I'm thinking today because I've just really given it attention, but it's probably been like that for a few days, and my spirit has really been heavy, and I've been watching the world around me. I've been watching things around me, and not just the world, but I've been watching the church, and my spirit has just been really heavy. And so I believe because of that, I believe that it was the Lord's intention for me to speak on what I will be speaking on tonight. I believe that he placed it on my heart and he placed the burden on my heart for me to give attention to it so that I could speak on it tonight. And not I speaking on it, not Coach D speaking on it, but I honestly believe that it's going to be, I believe that it's a word from God. I believe that there's something in tonight's message that he wants me to get. There's something in tonight's message that he wants each of you to get. And so, again, I prayed before the show tonight, and my prayer was that the Lord would send the people that he wants to hear tonight's message, that they would listen in, and that he would bring them from every direction of the earth, north, east, west, and south, to hear this message, because I believe that the Lord is grieving. And I believe that the grieving that I feel in my spirit is because I'm picking up in the Holy Spirit, which we know is the Spirit of God, that he is grieving. And I just became very on my own self. So, again, this message tonight is not just for my listening audience. It's for Coach D, too, because I am not immune to sin. You know, I'm not immune to sin. I'm human. I'm in the flesh, just like all of us are. And we all will experience sin. You know, some of us experience it daily. You know, some of us, you know, I'm just saying, sin we will experience as long as we're in this flesh. But I think the heaviness came for me is that at what point do we truly confess our sin? At what point do we truly confront our conformity? And we're going to get into that. At what point do we truly deal with those thorns in the side and not use excuses of why we still are operating with those thorns in the side? Because I don't believe that there's a thorn that we're dealing with that God can't deliver us from, that God can't heal, that God can't bring relief. And so all of this, and I'm going to also be going back because I see, you know, I think this, you know, we've had so many celebrities that have died. We've had so many celebrities that have transitioned out of this earth. And, you know, I've seen with various celebrities where shrines have been built, praise these celebrities that were here. And I guess the hurting part for me oftentimes are the praises that go to them. Sometimes I feel like, my God, do those kind of praises even go to God? Those kind of praises even go to Jesus? I mean, and I'm talking about church folks here. I'm not talking about the unsaved. I'm not talking about the, I'm talking about the saved. I'm talking about us that saved. How much attention, attention are we giving to people who are not confessing Jesus as Lord? How much attention are we giving? How much praise are we giving Christians, the body of Christ, to people who, you know, are not our brethren and sisters in Christ? So anyway, I was led again tonight, and I'm going to try to bring this message on tonight. It's not me, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to use me as only He can, without the emotions, because the emotions is really the flesh. It's the soul. My soul is hurting. So I'm asking the Spirit of God to rise above all of that, to be able to bring the message that He wants for us on tonight. And the message on tonight is confronting confirmation through confirmation in order to experience true transformation. I'm going to repeat that because some of it sounds the same, and I'm going to break down so we'll know the difference between. It's confronting conformation through confirmation in order to experience true transformation. And as we get into this, we're going to start seeing why we're not changing. We're going to start seeing why the body's not changing, why we're going to conferences and workshops and sitting in church several times, a few times a week, and we're leaving out of these places and we're doing the same thing when we left the place as we did before we went in the place. There's not true transformation taking place. And I believe that the reason for that is because we're falling into a spirit of conformity. And so let's get into that. I'm going to be in the Bible because guess what? It ain't nothing that Coach D can say. It's not nothing that I can minister. It's not nothing that I can teach or preach. The Word of God teaches and preaches itself. The Word of God is what goes in and begins to transform us. It begins to change us. When the Word of God is activated through the Spirit of God, it's powerful, it's productive, it's life, and it's a changing agent. And so I'm going to be reading the Word of God because there's going to be no confusion about the message on tonight. We won't wonder if this is really a God message. We won't wonder if Coach D was in her flesh. We won't wonder any of that on tonight because I'm going to be coming from the Word of God. And so if you have your Word with you on tonight, if you have your Bible, I suggest you grab them, blow the cobwebs off of them, get the dust off of them, get your reading glasses, get you a highlighter or a pen and a pad so that you could take notes. I believe it's going to be important for you to do that. I encourage you because part of the reason why we're not transforming is because we're not truly embracing the Word of God. We're not focusedly attending. When we go to these places, when we go where the Word is going forth, we're not paying attention. We're on our phones texting. We're on social media. We're thinking about the roast in the oven. We're thinking about all of the life issues that we're going through. We're thinking about our children, our spouses. Whatever thing the enemy could use to keep us distracted, we're being distracted, and we're not thinking about, we're not paying attention, and we're not really listening, and we're not taking notes from the Word of God so that we could go back and reflect, so that we could truly have an understanding of what's being said. So, again, I'm going to request that you put on your, bring out your Word, bring out your Bible so that you can really, it's going to be important. Don't just listen to tonight's show. Please don't just listen to tonight's show. Take notes. Because we cannot continue to sit in venues and not be transformed. We cannot keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. The world defines that as insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. We can't keep going in church every Sunday and coming out doing the same thing that we was doing before we went. God, I believe, you know, he's calling us to a different standard. And so tonight, he's going to confront confirmation. He's going to confront that. And so let me just start off because I that was a lot of words that I said in the title, but let's break that down because we want to know what confirmation is. Confirmation. We want to know what that is. And bear with me just 1 second. Bear with me here. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, so let's start with confirmation. I'm going to spell it because conformation sounds a lot like confirmation. And if we're not careful, we'll mix up the two. And they should not be confused. Conformation, C-O-N-F-O-R-M-A-T-I-O-N, conformation, has its base in the word conform, which means to follow the rules or behave in such a way that you fit in a social or spiritual way. This means that we're adjusting to something else. Else's contour. In other words, in this case, what we're going to be talking about tonight is not conforming to this world. And conforming to this world is when we become like the world, when we do what the world is doing, what the majority is doing, because everybody else is doing it, we are doing it. There are certain songs and things that we listen to and that we dance to, and we know, you know, as Christians, as believers, when we listen to the words of these songs, we know these words are not edifying. We know these words are not producing life, but yet and still we find ourselves saying, I'm guilty because I got some songs I know that could come on, and Coach D and everybody that knows Coach D personally know that certain songs come on, I will get up and I will begin to pop my finger and they will make me get out of my seat and dance. Amen. We all got some of those songs. And not all of them are necessarily bad songs because some of, you know, we're talking about the words. You know, people say, well, I don't even like the song. I just like the beat. But let me tell you something. When you get involved in a song just because of the beat and you think you're not listening to the words, you may not consciously be listening to the words, but believe me, your subconscious is listening to those words. If what I'm saying now bears no truth, then how many of us have went to a store where they're playing music? We walk up, we're in the store shopping, and before we know it, we're singing the words of that song. Or we went to the store, we left the store. That was early in the day. Now we're in the evening in the comfort of our home, and we find ourselves humming that song. One of the songs I can remember that came out, and I listen to a lot of contemporary gospel music. I've been doing that for years. Every now and then I'll listen to my oldie but goodie or old school. But the majority of my songs, for that reason, are Christian songs. But I can remember when Beyonce came out with To the Left. And I'm not a big fan of Beyonce. I mean, she's very talented in the world, but I'm not a big fan of hers. I'm not going to go buy a ticket to go see Bey. I'm just not going to do it. Not taking nothing away from her talent. But I found myself when, you know, I heard this song and I kept hearing it because, you know what, they do it redundantly. That's marketing because they want to get it in your spirit. They want to get it in your mind. They want you to start singing it because they want you to buy it. And so I can remember just that song. It played so much everywhere you went, you heard this song. And before I knew it, I found myself saying, I knew all the words to the song. I'm telling them, get this stuff is in the box to the left, you know. And it's amazing to me how we could absorb. We're like sponges, how we could absorb so much. And so that's forms of conforming, because before we know it, we're conforming. You know, we find certain celebrities that we just crazy about. You know, either we like their physical look or their physical appearance, or we like the way they smell, or we say we like the way they act. And before we know it, we become a fan. And if we're not careful, that fan, being a fan, goes into maybe honoring. And then if we go too far with honoring, before we know it, we're in idolatry. We're idolizing. And we all have been guilty of this, idolizing someone. We, you know, we either want to look like them, or we wish we looked like them, or we wish we could sing like them. And so we begin to conform to the things of the world. And this is what we're seeing taking place, is that we're starting to give honor where honor may not be due, not as believers. Now, if you're in the world, then again, if you're in the world, you do what you do. But I'm saying for us that's confessing, that we're Christians, that we're believers, but yet and still, I could go up and down social media and on everybody's page, and it's not just this young man. This young man did some great things in the community, praise God, that he did some great things in the community. But I'm saying every time a celebrity passes, you begin to see these makeshift shrines, these makeshift honor. I'm going to just give honor and glory and praises to this person. And oftentimes the people that's getting these praise and this honor and this glory are not even believers. At least they're not believers in Jesus Christ. And I'm saying if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and they're not believers of Jesus Christ, then we're, you know, and I'm not saying even somebody that's a believer in Jesus Christ that we're supposed to be giving that kind of praise to. But I'm saying it even makes it even worse when you're saying you're a believer, but you're praising people that's not even acknowledging Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So, again, we begin to conform to the world. We get used to what the world is doing. The world is wearing it. The world is doing it. So we begin to do it. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. There are certain styles in the world, and the world is doing it, so we do it. You know? There are certain things that the world do, concerts. The world is doing concerts, we do it. Now, don't get mad at Coach D, because like I said, I'm getting ready to minister the word of God. And don't get mad at me. This is not a judgment. Keep doing what you're doing. If concerts is your thing, keep doing it. If God ain't convicted you on it, keep doing it. So don't get mad at Coach D for how she judging. She hypocritical. Because this message is for Coach D just like it's for each one of you all, and we all got some stuff that we know is out of order. We all doing some stuff that we know that if God came down today, he would not be pleased. And it's even some places that some of us will go, and we know while we in that place. If the world was to come to an end while we was in that place, we know that God would not be pleased. And we probably even question. Will we miss it? So I'm just saying, don't just hear the words. The words that's going forth, the scriptures that's going forth. Don't get mad at Coach D, because we're talking about confirmation. And so we don't want confirmation. I've already explained to you what confirmation is. It's conforming to something. It's following the rules and the behavior in such a way that you fit in. You're fitting in. If you go somewhere, and I remember somebody telling me this, and I'm going to just be very transparent as I do. I remember somebody once telling me, if you go somewhere and people are not, especially in an environment of sin, and people are not uncomfortable with your presence, you may want to question yourself. And my thing has always been is I don't want people to be uncomfortable. You know, I go somewhere and I always would use the scripture of Paul that says, you know, be all things to all people. You know, I use that. I use that scripture as, and if I'm not careful, I'll take it out of context. So I was using that scripture where I could go everywhere. You know, Jesus went around and he hung out with the this and he hung out with the that. And, you know, I'm trying to be all things to all people. But the reality of it is that he said we're supposed to be peculiar people. We're not supposed to be fitting into the world. When Jesus came around, let me tell you something. when he stepped on the scene, he got people's attention. Because even though he was hanging out with the folks and he was around the folks, guess what? The folks knew he was different. Wherever he was at, if you don't care where you read in the Word of God, wherever Jesus was at, guess what? People came running because there was something different about him. Why? Because he was performing miracles. He was doing signs and wonders. He was speaking wisdom. He didn't start talking like them when he was around them. He kept talking like Jesus. He didn't change being the Son of God when he was around the Pharisees. He didn't change being the Son of God when he was around the Sadducees. He continued to be who he was. And oftentimes we will change who we are when we get around certain environments and certain people. We would do things that we normally don't do. Ooh, Jesus. We'll do things that we normally don't do when we get around certain environments. And the thing about it is who are we fooling? Because even though we may be fooling the people, even though we may be fooling ourselves, we're not fooling God because God is with us all the time. Amen? So now let's get to confirmation, which is different than confirmation. Should not be confused with confirmation, which means showing the truth or accuracy of something. I don't know, tonight I can't talk for some reason. I think the emotions of this whole subject. But confirmation is confirming truth or accuracy of something. So tonight what we're going to deal with is conformation, conforming to this world. And what we're going to do is get confirmation through the Word of God. And why? Because in order to take conforming and change it to transformation, we need confirmation. And the confirmation we're going to get, the confirmation is going to be the Word of God, because Romans 12:2 tells us, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, that was in the King James Version. I'm going to go to the Message. Why I'm going to the Message? Because the Message breaks it down in layman terms. It helps you to understand, and sometimes if you can't understand it or you can't really embrace it in the King James Version, the Message just kind of speaks your language. So in the Message it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. I'm going to repeat that. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. So don't become so adjusted to this world, and not even just the world as a whole, but our culture. We, and I'm speaking, my listeners is of all cultures. I'm a black female, and I really want to speak to that with no disrespect to my listeners that's not in the same culture, but if I could just speak to the black culture for a minute here. We do. We have a heavy burden here, you know, because we see so many dynamics that's taking place. We see so much injustice and no equality among that culture, that it's hard for us as black people and Christians. It's hard for us sometimes not to be affected, or most of the time not to be affected by what we see. This young man, for example, You know, I pray, my heart goes out, my heart cries for his mother, his parents, his family, his friends, everybody who loved him and respected him, and for all the people that he's done so much for. I give respect, you know, for all of that. But see, if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in what's going on. We'll be affected by what's going on. Why? Because this was a young black man. This was a young black man that was doing some positive things in his community. And if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in that we'll forget our first and foremost. And our first and foremost is that we're Christians first. We're Christians first. We're believers. We're confessing Jesus Christ. And so we want to be careful that we don't get so adjusted and so comfortable to our culture that we fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. God should be our focal point. He should be our main focus. I don't care what's going on in the world. If it's something culturally that's going on that's affecting us, if it's something politically that's going on that's affecting us, whatever's going on in the world that could affect us because we're in the world, our attention should be on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. So when we're connected with God and our attention is on God, then when God wants something from us or God tells us to do something or God tells us not to do it, we'll be ready to respond quickly. We won't have to go and get a word from somebody else. We'll know because we have that personal vertical relationship with God. We won't have to go out. And how do we do that? It's going to tell us. He said, you'll be changed from the inside out, rarely recognize what he wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you. Develop well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of a deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then as every one of you does in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. In other words, we got to make sure that we're not running around acting like we're doing God a favor. You know, Lord, I'm serving. Lord, I'm feeding the homeless. Lord, I'm building up the community. Lord, I'm. And we're acting like we're doing God a favor. No, God brings it all the goodness to us. God brings it all to us. Everything we do, we wouldn't be able to do without God. So he's the saving grace in this situation. He's the one who gives. Amen? And so he brings all this to us. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. So when we get away from what we're doing and what we believe we're doing for God, I'm doing this for God, you know, I'm serving God, you know, I'm all these things, and we could go for a list of stuff. We hear it all the time. Well, I'm a good person. I'm doing this, and this. I fed the homeless. I did this. I'm a good person. Instead of, you know what? I'm nothing without God. I'm just a filthy rag. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And if it wasn't by grace, I would be dead in my sin. Because God loved me so much, I didn't send my son to die for nobody. My son, you know, didn't die and was buried and raised and rised again on the third day. That was the Son of God that did that for me, for you. So we need to be grateful for God and all that God is doing for us. And how do we be grateful for God? It's acknowledging and being grateful, but being also transformed, that we not conform to this world. And we got to be transformed by what? By the renewing of our mind. How do we
How do I remove? If I was in the world and I was doing all the things of the world, and whatever that is, whether it was drugs, prostitution, lying, stealing, killing, whatever it was, we all was there. We all was singing the same song. We all was putting the same words, the same spirit in the atmosphere. We were always calling damnation and destruction upon us by what we were speaking unconsciously, not even knowing before we came into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We didn't know. We heard certain things, maybe some others, but we was foolish. And just thank God for his grace, because a lot of us know we shouldn't even still be here. We should have been dead a long time ago had it not been for God. And we were speaking these things. So how do I, this sinner, who was so conformed to this world that's evil and wicked, everything about the world is evil and wicked, even when it looks good, it's not good. How do I begin to transform my mind? How do I change my mind? How do I begin to get the mind of Christ? How do I get out of the idolatrous lifestyle? And let me just explain what that is for some of us that don't know. Idolatry literally means the worship of an idol. So just because you don't go up to a statue and worship it doesn't mean that you may not be operating in idolatry. Also known as the worship of cult image, in the form of a physical image, such as a statue. It could be, you know, some of us worship things or people. Some of us worship celebrities. Some of us worship our kids, our spouses. And God said to love your wife and to honor your husband. He never said to worship them. That's idolatry. And the same marriage covenant that God's made with you, he could also be disappointed in you if you're idolizing your spouse. The same kids God blessed you with, he could still be disappointed in you if you're idolizing your children, idolizing your job, the blessings God gave you, your home, cars, all those things, you know, those things. If you're idolizing, what does that look like? What does it look like to idolize your car, your home, your job? When that thing becomes more important to you than anything else. Some of us is working a job and we spending so much time at work that the house that we work so hard for to get, we can't even enjoy because we're working overtime and time and a half trying to pay the bills for all this stuff we accumulated. First John 2:15-17, I'm going to read it in the message because I want to break it down. It says, don't love the world's way. Don't love the world's good. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically, everything that goes on in the world, wanting your way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all is wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. So it's saying we, you know, being so consumed with the world and what the and all this stuff, and most of it is a self thing. I want this. I want that. I want a new car. I want a new home. I want a new job. I want a husband. I want a wife. I want children. I. And everything is about I. And if we're not careful, those eyes become bigger than God. Those eyes will become bigger than God. So again, how do we begin to transform? And the transformation takes place through the Word of God. It's just that simple. Transformation takes place through the Word of God, because now we got to, we got to begin to delete some files. Our brain is like a computer. Our minds are like computers. And from the time we're born up until now, we have data input. So everybody knows that what's in a computer has to be downloaded into the computer. It has to be either through data entry or hard drive. You got to download the stuff. You got to program it. So we've all been programmed from the time we were little kids. We've been programmed with what we, in most cases, if it was pre-Christ, before we came into the knowledge of Christ, we were downloaded with our five senses. Things we seen, things we heard, things we touch, things we taste. So all these five senses, I don't know if I did all five, but we know the five senses. That's how we got information. That's how we were taught things, through our culture, our environment, our parents, our community. We began to learn. And it's not saying that stuff was right, but that's the stuff that began to be put in us. So if we were in a community that was very, let's just say, very militant, then our ways, the things we learned would have been very militant. If we was raised in a community that was very loving, then guess what? Some of that loving, those loving ways would be in there. If we grew up in a community that was, very supportive, then those are some of the things we would learn. So a lot of things that we learned and the input that was put into our hard drive, our brain, necessarily wasn't always positive stuff. And especially, like I said, if it's stuff of the world. And then when we came into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we had to begin to change those files. And it's not always easy to do. Because when you begin to change those files, if you know anything about a computer system, and we've seen cases of this, court cases. If you know anything about it, whatever you put on there, even though you think you could delete it off, it may be deleted off to the natural eye, but guess where? There's somebody that could go back in there and pull up that information. We've heard people say, well, I took those pictures when I was out of my mind. I was high. I was drunk. I was in a bad place, and I took those pictures, and I deleted them. How did they get them? Because it's never truly deleted. And so why am I saying that? Coach D, why are you saying that? I'm saying that because these files that we have, these past files, are there. And even though we begin to put in new information and we begin to operate in the new information, if we're not careful, old files could pop back up. And we'd be wondering, where'd that come from? I deleted that. I prayed about it. I gave it to the Lord. And I replaced it with a scripture. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I put that fear aside. Because I said I couldn't do it. My old me said I couldn't do it. My new me said you could do all things. So I replaced it, I thought. But then the opportunity comes to do something amazing, and I'm scared to step out. Why? Because that old file comes up, and it says, you can't do that. You don't know how to sing. Who said you could do that? And if we don't know how to combat that old thing, because the Word of God tells us to cast down vain imaginations and anything that attempts to exalt itself against the knowledge of God's word. It tells us to take into captivity our thoughts, because those thoughts will come back up. Those thoughts will pop back up, and you'll delete them, and they may be deleted for a while. And sometimes some of those thoughts will pop right back up on you. How do we know that? How many of us is in the car? You've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost for years. And you're driving down the freeway and you're singing gospel songs. Our God is an awesome God. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. And then the car cuts you off. And then the first thing you do is flip the car off. Or you say something out your mouth. Where did that come from? One of them old vows. One of those old vows. So I believe that even in the not wanting to conform, and even in trying to change the conformity through the confirmation of God's word, which is important, we have to keep confirming through the word of God. We got to keep confirming through the word of God in order to transform, for true transformation. Because we're supposed to get to a point, and I believe that point is we can. We're supposed to get to a point where we don't operate the same way. You know, the word of God says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, I act as a child, but now I'm a man, woman, and I'm doing things differently. I've matured. I've grown. I've transformed. So we have to begin to transform. It's supposed to be able to see change. When people see you, you're supposed to be going from glory to glory. It's supposed to be from change to change, not stuck. Not living and behaving in the same manner. We're supposed to be changing and not conforming. And you know, again, I didn't know for sure which direction God wanted to go with this, and I knew it had something to do with conforming. I knew it had something to do with confirmation. I knew it had something to do with transformation. And I get it, that we can't conform to this world. We're not supposed to even be comfortable with the things of the world. We're not supposed to be comfortable with the things we see going on in the world. We're never supposed to get to a point where we're comfortable. It's not to say that we live in this world. We're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. We're in the world. We live in the world. We're going to be affected by the things that's going on in the world, but we should never begin to conform. What's an example? Kid gets shot by the police. Everybody runs to go protest. But now this protest becomes violent and hostile. So everybody already, the mob already know that where they're going to, they're going because they're ready to tear some stuff up because of the injustice that just took place. Why is Christians in that mob tearing up stuff? That's a perfect example of conforming. We have no business operating like that. We have no business doing evil for evil. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. So we're not supposed to be acting like the world. We're not supposed to be looking like the world. Why are we walking around with bad attitudes? Face all frowned up. People scared to say hi to us. Because we can't even give a smile. Why are we posting things on social media that's inappropriate? But we said, ooh, thank you, God. Why are we doing this? I'm not pointing the fingers at nobody. I'm saying, but why? We as believers, why are we functioning like that? I may not post nothing on social media. I don't. Not nothing that I think that would be out of order to my character. But I might have walked in the store a few times with my lips poked out or looking crazy, unconsciously, daring somebody to speak. You better not say nothing to me. Same thing. It's the same thing as posting something crazy on social media. Are we showing the joy of the Lord? Are we showing the positivity? Are we showing that we belong to Jesus? When people see us, do they see Jesus? If I die tomorrow and people are at my funeral, and people will be at my funeral, at least I think so, what would people be saying about me? Would they say that she was a child of God? When I leave this earth, do my family know really where I'm going for real, for real? Can they rest with the assurance and confidence that Gwendolyn Denise Hamilton is going to heaven? Would they have that assurance? Part of the stress, even when we lose loved ones, part of the stress is the not knowing. We want to believe everybody's going to heaven. Even the world that don't acknowledge Jesus, even the world that don't really acknowledge God, they acknowledge energy and positive vibes. But why is it that every time somebody die in the world that's acknowledging energy and positive vibes, the first thing they want to say is rest in heaven and put angel wings on them and carrying on? This is the world. I'm not talking about believers. Why are they, the world don't want to submit to God. They don't want to acknowledge God or the Son of God. But as soon as they get close to death, God becomes relevant. Heaven becomes relevant. That's what some of us. So we got to get to a point that we know that we know that we know. We got to get to a point where we're willing to do self-inventory, that we're not conforming to this world, because we are. I am a Christian. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I'm still a Christian. I'm a Christian, and I'm representing a kingdom. The kingdom of God. I'm a representation of that. You're a representation of that. And we've been, I don't know, I can't talk for you. But for me, I'm not sure I've been doing a good job representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I haven't always done a good job representing him. And it's my heart's desire, as David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. I want to be a good representation of my Father. When people see me, I don't want people to see the world. I don't want people to get me confused with the world. I don't want to be the one on the platform protesting that a woman has a right to do with her body what she wants to. We should never be platforming something like that as believers. Why? Because when you're a believer, you understand the miracle of conception. You understand that out of all these billions of sperm, billions of sperm that shoot up in a woman, that one sperm connected with that one egg. That's a miracle. That's a God miracle. And whether that miracle took place during a rape, whether that miracle took place during something else, whatever the situation, nevertheless, it's still a God miracle. And when we say we belong, that we're Christians and we belong to the Lord, how can I as a woman say I have the right to do with my body what I want to do with it? Because I no longer belong to me. I was bought with a price. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. How can I go and vote for people that are not Christian, that are not confessing Jesus Christ? And it's not just saying I'm a Christian It's not just saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. It's saying through our actions. Because I can't say I'm a Christian and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and be pushing a platform that I have a right to do an abortion, or pushing a platform of feminism, you know, women's rights, the feminists. I can't push that platform. I'm a believer. It's just some things that we cannot do as believers. We need to leave that stuff to the world, and we just need to keep praying that the Lord will fix those areas. So some stuff we need to just leave to the world and leave it alone and use our best tool of defense, which is prayer and supplication, fasting. But we cannot keep saying we're Christians and keep, and just do anything we want to do. It would mean that you might not make a mistake. Absolutely not. You will. But you should not be practicing doing stuff that's against what you say you believe. I should not be practicing doing stuff that's against what I say I believe. Father God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word that went forth, Lord Jesus. I pray that whoever you needed to hear that word on tonight, Lord, in addition to me, Father God, that they heard the word, that they received it, Father, that they understood it, and Lord Jesus, that they will apply it. Father God, I pray that not one person listening in on tonight, Father God, will leave this call with a heavy heart. Father God, I pray that if anybody needs to repent, Father God, that we will repent. Lord, that we will ask for your forgiveness for our sins and our shortcomings. Father God, for we know that we've fallen short of your glory. Father God, we pray that we will just begin to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Father. Lord, that we will take your word, Father, and that we will begin to meditate on your word, Father, and that we will begin to apply your word, Father God, that our minds will be renewed. Father God, we thank you that you are forgiving, God. And Lord, we know that it's not your desire that any of us should perish. Father God, we see the world around us, Lord, and we see the manifestation of your word taking place, Father. Father God, help us to not be trendy and moved by every new trend. Help us to not be so willing to be conformed to the world and do what the world do because the majority is doing it, Father God. Father God, help us to be not people pleasers, but Father God, that we are pleasers of you, Father, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, we thank you that we belong to you, Lord Jesus, and we just pray, Father God, that you will continue to keep our hearts and our minds stayed on you. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for second chances. We thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank each and every one for tuning in on tonight. If you do have a question on tonight, the subject matter, a pushback, something you didn't understand or you don't agree with, I'm going to take the opportunity to open up the line. If you do have a question or comment, please dial 1. That will let our team know that you have a question or comment about tonight's show. If not, then we're going to just go ahead and we'll be shutting down. But I'm going to give it a couple of minutes. If you do have a question or comment about tonight's show, we want to thank you for continuing on to tune in on Thursday night. I want to thank you for tuning in on Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights have been amazing. We are actually did our 6-week journey, and that was on, we did the 6-week journey, and I'm trying to think, oh my gosh, I just lost focus. Trustworthy. Last night's message was about being trustworthy, and it was a great message. Next week is our seventh week, and we will be discussing discipline. And so that's going to be a good one. And then we will be doing a Tuesday night show, which will be our eighth week. And I believe that's going to be April the 23rd. April the 23rd on a Tuesday. We normally do our show on Wednesday night, but that week we're going to do it on a Tuesday night, and we'll do that last 8-week journey of wisdom on that Tuesday night, which is April the 23rd. And Processing the Pain will not be airing on April of the week of April the 23rd. So the week of April the 21st, Processing the Pain will not be airing, and Woman to Woman will air the Tuesday rather than the Wednesday. Minister LaDonna and myself will be traveling out of the country, and so we are that week, so we're going to try to make sure that we get Woman to Woman in on Tuesday, and then Processing the Pain to pick up on the following week. So again, we thank you for your support. We hope that our shows have been edifying for you, and we look forward to being with you next week. Have a good night. Know that you are loved and appreciated.